where we're heading. And I think we all do that. We have a tendency to forget where we're headed. And we see the further we get in the journey, the more excited we ought to be, because we're getting closer and we're getting closer to the other side. And the further we are in our journey, the more and more distanced we are from this world. And we mentioned this last Wednesday night. As we get older in the Lord, most of us here feel less and less at home in this world, and we find ourselves being more and more distanced from this world, and we learn on a daily basis that there's nothing here. There's nothing in this world. It's empty. It's empty. And so we must keep our attention on the fact that we are headed to the other side. Secondly, it is a voyage with Christ. Jesus said in verse 35, "Let us pass over." Let us pass over to the other side. He did not say, "You go to the other side and I'll meet you there." It's not what he said. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." So Christ would be present with them on this journey to the other side. And so it is with us. Jesus Christ is present with us. On our way to the other side, we are not left alone. We're never alone. Even when we think we are alone, even when we might feel like we are alone, we're never alone as a child of God. The one who is mighty God, the one who is Lord of all, the one who is King of kings, King of glory, the creator and the sustainer of all things, he goes with us. And whatever we have to go through on our way to the other side, he goes with us. The one with us is the possessor of all power in heaven and on earth. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it's he that goes with us. We're not alone. The one that goes with us is the great I Am that I Am, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and everything in between. It's he that goes with us. The one who is the sure foundation, a stronghold in the day of wrath, a rock, the sin bearer, Redeemer, the tower of salvation, the friend of sinners, our rescuer, our reconciler. He's the one that goes with us. We're not alone. And again, we're never alone. The one who walked this earth and sickness and disease fled at his command, it's he that goes with us. The one who walked this earth and the demons and death were subject to his word, subject to his authority. The one that Satan could not seduce, the enemies of God could not stop. It's he that goes with us on this journey to the other side. The very one that the grave could not hold. It's he that goes with us. The one who's absolutely immeasurable. One who excels all, goes beyond all, the one who is more than all, more immense than anything, the one who is our strength and is our song and is our salvation, he is the one that goes with us, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we hear him say, "Let us pass over to the other side." And we can hear him say that every single day. Let us pass over to the other side. We don't know what is involved in going over to the other side. We don't know what we're going to have to encounter. But does it really matter? As long as he's with us. Thirdly, our voyage
should always be in obedience to the Lord. Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side," in verse 35. And in verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him at even as he was in the ship." So they're doing exactly what Jesus said. In obedience, they're going over to the other side. In obedience, they are headed to the other side. They were actively doing what God said. They were actively doing God's will. And again, on our voyage to the other side, there's no greater honor than simply surrendering to Him, obeying the commands of the one who cannot err. So they're in obedience. And we ought to always strive to be obedient to the Lord. Fourthly, there were some storms. And in our voyage to the other side, there will be storms. It's not a question of whether or not storms will come. They will come. And there will be many storms. So, they're going across the Sea of Galilee. You and I aren't crossing the Sea of Galilee. We're passing through this world. A world in which Satan is the prince, a world that hates Jesus Christ, a world that is opposed to Jesus Christ. And we're going to have storms. We're going to have difficulties. But along the way, all along the way, there's not a step of the way this is not so. We have the blessings of salvation. We are the children of God. No matter what storm I go through, no matter what storm you go through, does not change that we are the children of God. That we have free pardon, that we have the forgiveness of sins, we have acceptance with God. We have peace with God. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are citizens of heaven. Nothing changes that. We need to also remember that on our journey, where our citizenship is. We have sufficiency in all things. We have grace in abundant supply. And all of our needs are supplied in Jesus Christ. All things are working together for our good. We have all the promises of God. We are kept by the power of God. And we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So, that is always true. Whatever storms we're going through, none of those things change. And like this voyage in our text, there can be favorable conditions. When we're just sailing along, not a problem in the world, but don't forget where you are. Even when there's favorable conditions and you're sailing, the water is calm, don't forget where you are. It can change in an instant. Don't forget where you are. Don't forget where you're headed. Storms will come. Storms will come. Many of the storms we bring on ourselves. But again, we see the apostles here, they're in obedience. It didn't exempt them from the storm. And by being obedient to the Lord, we can prevent many of the storms that we bring into our life. There's certain things, if you don't do, you're not going to have a storm. You don't cheat on your wife or your husband, you'll escape some storms there. You don't steal, you don't, whatever. The list can go on and on and on. You can avoid some storms that people bring into their lives. But you can obey, you can be close to God, and still go through a storm. Obedience does not exempt you from storms. There's going to be storms. And some of them will be sudden. Some of them will be quite unexpected. Some you might see coming in a distance. But some will just like this storm appears, it just came and was there. And in an instant, they're in the midst of a storm. A storm can be very severe. Of course, different degrees of storms. And there will be storms. And the storms can come without warning. And a furious storm may be on the lake right where you are, just as it was with them. A furious storm came down right where they were. The storm was raging, the winds were blowing, the waves were rising. It was a great tempest, Matthew said. Mark said a great wind. But it was a very severe storm. And the ship was near to going to pieces. Their lives were in jeopardy. One gust of wind would lift up the ship, and the next gust of wind might plunge it into the water even further. It was a very severe storm. And they were frightened. And we're going to be in some storms that are going to frighten us. They were more than frightened, they were terrified. And we're going to be in some storms that might cause terror. They were helpless. There wasn't anything they could do. They couldn't stop the storm. They were doing their best to survive, but they couldn't stop that storm. It appeared to them that it was certain death. Storms, again, are a picture. There are many storms in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And they're pictures of trials. They're pictures of difficulties and hardships. They're pictures of some of the struggles that we have in life. They picture the adversities of life, some of the burdens of life, the stresses, the calamities. Storms are pictures of trials. It's going to be a picture of a setback in life. It's going to be a picture of an affliction, a battle, an obstacle. But they're pictures of difficulties. And these storms are inevitable. They're inevitable. There's going to be some storms. And many times they're unpredictable. And again, they can be very severe. They can be fierce, causing us great fear. They can overwhelm us. They can threaten to engulf us. They can be life-threatening with no apparent escape. But the winds come to all of us. They can come suddenly. They can come unexpectedly. They can come from all different directions. They can come from all directions at once. But in the life of every child of God, there are going to be some contrary winds. There are going to be some winds that will frustrate you. There are going to be some winds that appear to hinder our best intentions. There are going to be some winds that are going to make life difficult and distressing. And there are going to be some winds that frighten us. And yes, there will even be some winds due to our human nature that will cause us to lose hope. As it was here with the apostles. Carest thou not that we perish? They had no hope. But don't lose sight of where you're headed. Don't lose sight of where you're headed. We're headed to the other side. Fifthly, in this voyage, things are not always as they appear. The storm came right where they were. The boat in which they were sailing is filled with water. They are in jeopardy. The apostles are filled with fear. Jesus is sound asleep in verse 38. And to the apostles it appeared that he knew nothing of this storm. But that's never the case. Jesus knew all about the storm. He knew all about it from eternity. He knew exactly when the storm would come. And he knew what they would do in the storm. And he knew what he would do in the storm. And so it is in our lives. He knows all about the storms. He knows whatever storm you might be in right now. He knows what your next storm is going to be. He knows how you're going to react, and he already knows what he's going to do. But it appeared that he didn't know. He's asleep on a pillow. It appeared from what they said to him, that he did not care. But that's all just appearance. It's all contrary to Scripture. And whatever appearance is contrary to Scripture, remember that. It's just appearance. It's not reality. It's just how things appear. If it's contrary to Scripture, it can't be so. Don't ever think, well, the Lord doesn't care. If the Lord cared, he wouldn't let me go through this. Well, that's contrary to Scripture. That's erroneous thinking. And that will, again, just make your storm worse. Sixthly, our voyage to the other side, we have access to Christ. Christ is with us, and we have access to him. In verse 38, the waves and the wind are beating into the ship. The ship is filling with water. And what do the apostles do? They approach Christ. They did so with unbelief. They did so thinking that he did not care. But they were able to approach Christ. And in the midst of every single storm, even when it appears that you're going under, you can approach Christ. Also, seventhly, our voyage involves many miraculous deliverances. The storm was real. This was not something that they imagined. They could feel the wind. They could feel the ship being tossed. They could hear the ship creaking. They could see that the ship was filling with water. They could feel that their clothes were soaking wet and clinging to them. Everything about it was real. Everything. None of this is imaginary. Everything about this storm is very real. And Jesus calmed the storm, thus providing them with deliverance. And however far along we are in our voyage to the other side, we've already been delivered from many, many a storm. We've been spared many a storm. There's many storms that the Lord, in his grace and mercy to us, has allowed to just pass over us instead of coming down upon us. More storms have passed over us than we've gone through. By God's grace and mercy, we've avoided more storms than we've passed through. But we've passed through storms. We've been in storms. And God has given us miraculous deliverance from those storms. And therefore, there's always hope. He can calm the storm. You and I can't. You and I can't stand up and say, peace be still and everything be fine. Only he can do that. But he can do that. And he does that. He does that in our life. He's done that in all of our lives. He's calmed many a storm in our lives. And again, how many times he has spared us from storms. Eighthly, our voyage involves much grace and mercy. Again, in verse 38, the apostles awoke Jesus. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then we read in verse 39, they arose, rebuked the wind, said, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That was mercy. That was grace. That was love. Because they came to him, impatient with him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? There's impatience there. They are impatient with God. Yet the Lord calmed the storm. And how many times we get impatient with God? We really do. Those words that they spoke to Christ, there's unbelief there. They believe that he didn't care. There's distrust. There's fear when there was no need for fear. They called into question the love of the Lord, the care of the Lord, the concern of the Lord. They called into question his commitment to them. I mean, it's almost unbelievable that a human being would call into question God's commitment to us. I mean, it's not like we're committed. And we call into question his commitment. So this is how they came to him. And he stood up and he calmed the storm. And he did it for them. And in doing so, he rescued them from the storm. Now, that's grace. That's mercy. They didn't come to him in the right spirit. Everything about how they came was wrong. But yet the Lord was gracious and merciful. And so it is with us. If that wasn't the case, we would have drowned a long time ago. In our voyage to the other side, the storms have a God purpose. When Christ said to the apostles, let us pass over on the other side, did he not know the storm would come? Yes, he did. He sent the storm. He knew that they would be in a storm. And they sailed, and he fell asleep. And again, when he fell asleep, did he not know that a storm would be upon them very soon? He knew. He not only knew, but he had a purpose for them going through this storm. The purpose of the storm was not to destroy them. If that was the purpose, they would have been destroyed. But that wasn't the purpose. And the purpose of a storm is not to destroy you. If that was the case, it would destroy you. If God was out to destroy you, believe me, he will do that. But the storm was not sent to destroy them. It wasn't even sent to harm them. They are in jeopardy, but the storm was not sent to harm them. It was sent to help them. And so it is with us. The storm is not sent to destroy us. It's not sent to harm us. It's sent to help us. I believe it was sent to change them, to strengthen them, to challenge them, to make them better. That was the purpose of the storm. The purpose of this storm was to teach them. And this is a truth that we must never lose sight of. The storms and struggles are not sent to destroy us. They're sent to develop us spiritually. We must always remember that. God doesn't send a storm to destroy you spiritually. He sends a storm in the life of God's people to develop them spiritually. Contrary to common belief, the storms and struggles are not always a bad thing. I mean, if it develops us spiritually, is that a bad thing? How can it be? If it draws you closer to God, is that a bad thing? Can't possibly be. We tend to think that all storms, that's just an awful thing. But really, the things that we think are the most awful are really some of the best things that's ever happened to us. The Lord uses storms to direct us. He uses storms to inspect us, you and I inspecting ourselves. He uses storms to correct us. But not all storms are sent as punishment. Not all storms are sent to correct some sin in our life. He sends storms to connect us to Him. So how can that be bad? He sends storms to perfect us, to make us better. Now you think about it, it was in the storm. I mean, you have Peter, Andrew, James, John. They were all very experienced fishermen, no doubt were very familiar with the Sea of Galilee. No doubt had experienced many terrible storms on that sea or on that lake. But this storm was sent to teach them how little control they had. Now that's something we all need to be reminded of every now and then. Because if we're not careful, we'll begin to think that we've got this under control. And the Lord sends a storm just to remind us how little control we really have. They were unable to handle this situation. They thought they were going to die. They were unable to handle this situation. A situation had swooped down upon these seasoned and self-confident fishermen that was beyond their control. Simply to remind them, you're not in control. And the storms have a tendency to remind us of that. And we need to be reminded of that. We're not in control. He's in control. And really, the sooner we learn that lesson, the better off we'll be. It was in the storm that they had a fresh discovery of Christ, causing them to say in verse 41, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They had a different view of Jesus Christ. And if a storm gives you a better view of Christ, is that a bad thing? I don't think so. And it was in the storm also that they experienced the calm. They experienced the wind being still. Tenthly, our voyage to the other side, faith, is an absolute necessity. The disciples frantically came to Jesus and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus calms the storm with a word, and then he said unto them, "How is it that you have no faith?" That question was asked in a way to cause them to examine themselves. How is it? You've been with me all this time. You've been with me this whole day in Capernaum, where I've worked one miracle after another. How is it that you have no faith? That's a very searching question. Luke says in his account, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" So on our way to the other side, there's going to be storms. And we need a faith that enables us to look through the storm and see the master of the wind, the master of the storm. Got to have that faith. 11thly, we need to remember that there are others No matter what storm you're going through, no matter what storm I go through, it's not all about me, it's not all about you. The world doesn't stop because you're in a storm. There are people so immature that they think that when they are in a storm, that everybody else's life must stop too. Well, you're not that important where the whole world stops for you. You're just not. There were other little ships in verse 36, and there were also other little ships. The apostles were not the only ones in this storm. They weren't the only ones on the Sea of Galilee that evening. And always remember, however troubled you and I might be by the storm, they're not peculiar to you and I. We're not the first ones to go through this storm. Nor are you the only one in all the world going through that particular storm at that time. There's always others going through the storm. So out there in that storm-tossed lake, there were other little ships. The apostles' burden was not heavier than those on those other little ships. And so it is with us when we're going through a storm. Perhaps a loved one passes away. Well, guess what? Believe it or not, there are other people at that very same moment who are going through the very same thing you are. At that very moment, tragedy strikes. I guarantee you, somewhere in the world, someone's going through the exact same thing. You're not the only one. And so it was here with the apostles. But the apostles had something that these other little ships didn't have. They had the presence of Christ. Christ was in that boat. He wasn't in bodily in the other little ships. The apostles had immediate access to Christ. Those in those other little ships didn't. And how often you and I, as children of God, we go through a trial. And I'm not saying those in those other little ships were lost. I don't know what they were. I don't even know who they were. But you and I, we go through trials, and there are other people who are lost going through the same trial. And they don't have the access to Christ that I have, that you have. They don't have that presence of Christ that you and I have. So for a child of God to think we've got it worse than anyone else, you're probably mistaken. Those other in the little ships, they didn't have Christ to go to. So never forget, there are others upon the storm-tossed waters. There always is. We're not going through the storm. We're not the only ones going through the storm. And then lastly, and they came over to the other side. Our voyage, of course, is more than going into the country of the Gadarenes. Our voyage ends in victory. Not a single one of those apostles, not a single one in that boat was lost at sea. Not one. There will not be one single elect individual lost in this voyage. Everyone will pass over. Everyone will be brought safely to the other side. No one, when we get to the other side, no one's going to be looking around, well, what happened to brother so-and-so? He must not have made it. Everyone's going to make it. Everyone that the Lord came for to save is going to make it safely to the other side. Because it's not dependent upon our ability to get to the other side. He brings us to the other side. And for you and I that are saved, the other side is where we'll be fully freed from sin. Fully freed from all temptation to sin. Fully free from all the effects of sin. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Complete 100% victory. Absolute victory. That's where we're headed. Here we're on the battlefield. But when we reach the other side, we'll stand before the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in our hands, rejoicing, singing His praise, and He'll be the center of it all. All eyes will be upon Him. And if you want heaven on earth, a little bit of heaven on earth, that's what we need to do here. Just turn our eyes upon Him. You may be in the storm, but you need enough faith where you can see Him and where you can know, I know He cares. I may not understand why this is happening, but I do know this. He cares. He loves me. He's doing this for me. That takes faith. Now, it's easy to tell someone else that when they're going through the storm and you're in calm waters. But it takes faith when you're on the storm-tossed waters to be able to know He's with me. He's bringing me over to the other side. This is just something I've got to get through. This is something He's bringing me through on my way to the other side. But He will bring me through it. He will cause me to pass over. I'm not going to get stuck here. He's going to bring me through. And I'm going to be safely to the other side. That's true of every child of God. Let us not get caught up, entirely focused upon the storm. If that's all you can see is the storm, you need more than that. You need to be able to see more than just the storm. You've got to be able to see Him. And He can calm the storm. He may not, but He can. And He may choose not to calm the storm at all. He may choose to calm your heart instead. But either way, He can bring calm. He can calm the storm, He can calm our hearts. But only He can bring that kind of calm. And again, I believe it's all pictured, as we said this morning. Jesus asleep on a pillow. That's calm. That's peace. And we can have that on our journey to the other side. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse 7.